and certainly not up to the face. Late blitz coming. Burrow finds his man, and Ja'Marr Chase is going to coast into the end zone. They beat the blitz with a quick throw from Joe Burrow, and the Bengals score once again in their second possession.
Bengals and Eagles last night. Joe Burrow was sharp. Bengals decided to play him more in the preseason than years past, looking for a bit of a better start to their regular season. Joe Goodberry joins us on the Wester Hotline. He of Bengals on the Brain. We chat every once in a while on Cincinnati, all things Bengals. Joe, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking some time. How did you enjoy preseason game number one?
Well, a little bit nerve-wracking because, like you said, Burrow has not played in the preseason, whether it's due to his rookie year, COVID year, there was no preseason, or immediately following that, recovering from injuries, whether it was the knee or the appendectomy or the calf or the wrist. He's never really played. There was, last year, he played a drive, he had a couple of throws, and that was it. And he just, once week one came around, he wasn't ready. And this is the case for the Bengals, and people have put it on Zach Taylor a lot. But if you look at Joe Burrow's stats in the first couple weeks in September every year, they're very, very average. And we're talking about a team that if Burrow's not playing at the MVP level, well, then the team's not going to be very good. So it's good to see him look ready last night. I was nervous because I'm still always nervous about him getting hit or the offensive line not looking good. But at the same time, they got out of it. And I think they're supposed to play their starters again next week versus the Commanders. So I'll be crossing my fingers for another hour or so when that approaches.
Yeah, that's my next question. If you think that he did enough in this game, 9 of 10, 123, 2 touchdowns. If your mission is, hey, let's see if he looks like he's ready. He certainly looked ready. And the way you just kind of painted that picture, the other absences from the preseason would have all had legitimate reasons, right? Recovering from an injury. So you feel like they're walking a tightrope here a little bit to make sure that they, I don't know, satisfy whatever it is they're looking to satisfy. But if he was ready last night, why wouldn't he be ready in a month?
I agree, and I think they just had so much pressure put on them about starting slow, and it's legit, right? You can't start slow in the AFC, especially if you're wanting the one seed. If you want to make the playoffs as they haven't the last 2 years, but again. I think it's just a little misguided because there's a balance. You have to get your guys ready, but at the same time, you want to be healthy. Zach Taylor's gotten some criticism for maybe going a little bit light, a little bit soft in camp to make sure they get to week one healthy. And they typically end the season really strong because they're a team that gets better throughout, but they also have stayed relatively healthy in their good years other than Burrow. So I think the plan is smart to be ready for December, January, and so on. But you have to start fast or else you're going to miss the playoffs. So I do think there's a balance. There's one play in particular last night that was called back due to a holding, or it was a tripping, I believe, or an incidental. The offensive line went down. Doesn't matter. It was one play in particular where I thought, oh, Joe Burrow's ready to go. And it was a play where it was a quick throw to the left. The tight end falls down. So he holds the ball. He resets himself in the pocket, bounces back in the pocket, evades the rush, casually strolls to the right. He's looking for someone to get open. I'm thinking in my head, just throw it away. It's preseason. You saw the flag. But he doesn't. As the rush is coming to him, he just finds Ja'Marr Chase back in the end zone on the run, throws it, flips it out on an off-script play on a broken play. And those are the things that are always missing for him in the first half of the season. His pocket presence, his ability to avoid sacks and create plays off-script, one of the things when he was coming out of LSU, everyone was like, oh, my God, look at this guy create magic in the pocket. It's something that usually takes half a season for him to get there. And I think it's largely because he's been injured or hasn't played in preseason. He said he needs to feel the hits. He needs to feel the actual rush, not just the practice rush where guys are pulling up, 3 yards away from him. So to see that already in a first preseason game, that's the underrated play that got me excited.
Joe Goodberry with us. Other storylines, Joe, from camp and that would have bled into the game last night. Ja'Marr Stewart played last night after his contract holdout not being there for the whole offseason?
Yeah, he played 18 snaps. He got one rep with the first team defense. They're slowly rotating him in. That first rep was at defensive tackle. The Bengals in camp so far have moved him from left defensive end to right defensive end to defensive tackle. They have what they call a NASCAR package where it's four defensive ends out there. And he goes to defensive tackle, and he's played some end in practice as well, but that's what that was. He had a tackle for a loss. He had a win as a right defensive end going against Eagles backups. for a hit on the quarterback. There was also a play where they left him unblocked and bootlegged towards his way. And I think that's an interesting choice for offenses because he is so long and so athletic that he is in that quarterback's face in a blink. It'll be interesting for him this year because he's a guy who needs the reps because he didn't have a lot of moves. He didn't have a lot of pass rush wins as like an outside edge pass rusher at Texas A&M. They just didn't let him really unleash himself too often. And we're still not seeing his hands win. There was a bunch of plays that, you know, where the lineman just got his hand into Shamar Stewart's chest and stunned him and knocked him back a couple yards. And it's like, yeah, you know, hopefully he'll get there. But as of right now, at the very least, he looks like a guy that can win with his length and his explosiveness and his raw strength because he's kind of a bull in a china shop out there, which is nice to have for for a guy that big and that athletic to just go in there and cause a little havoc.
Joe Goodberry on the Bengals. How big of a lift is it to get the defense to the middle of the pack from where they were?
I think it's a pretty big lift. They're banking on a lot of development. They spent a ton of draft picks on the defensive side. I think this is always the idea that, hey, we're going to pay Joe Burrow. We're going to pay Jamar Chase. Hopefully we can pay T. Higgins. And they ended up paying Mike Gesicki and Orlando Brown Jr. at left tackle. And they just picked up Noah Fant. They're real happy with Chase Brown on the offensive side. But the defense, they've just churned draft picks over there. And they're like, okay, we're going to replace Jesse Bates. We're going to replace DJ Reader. And the list goes on and on. And they just kept spending those picks on the defensive side, and none of them have really taken a step into being really good players. There's been guys that have had flashes, like Cam Taylor-Britt has had flashes, Dax Hill has flashed, Joseph Osai has flashed, but nobody has turned into like, all right, this is a guy that's coming up on an extension at some point. Not a single player has. And I think that's the biggest reason why they let go of Lou Anarumo and brought in Al Golden from Notre Dame, is Golden sold them on the idea that, hey, I can get these guys playing and playing faster and playing better earlier in their careers. And for the Bengals, financially and cap-wise, once you're already paying all those stars on offense, you need these guys to hit on the defensive side. So I think it's a tough ask to say, all right, we need 8 of these guys to hit the ground running this year. It's not going to happen. At best, you get 4. You get half of those guys that you're just trying to plug and hope will become good starters. And if 4 of them do, I think, yeah, they can get to like 16 to 20. It can happen. But I still think it's a tall task for Al Golden and his staff. It's the most interesting part of the team, though. Which of these guys are going to step up? Which of the 8 that they're trying to figure out who can play these positions will become household names for Bengals fans?
Do you think that has to sink them or, you know, keep them from winning the division? Like, how much can they accomplish if the defense is still near the bottom of the league? Because last year they were that, and they missed the playoffs. But I don't know, Joe, like, they also, there's a missed 2-point conversion against Baltimore. There's the flag against Kansas City. There's the 1-yard line fumble against New England. Like, even though the defense was that bad, it still felt like they were 3 plays away from being in the playoffs and being the team no one wanted to see.
And Evan McPherson last year, the kicker, was not his normal self. He had a groin injury. They ended up putting him on IR with like 5 weeks to go. They're saying he looks much better. He went 2 for 2 last night, had a 51-yarder. The ball looked straighter, cleaner, curved into the uprights. If he is his normal self from what we knew the previous few years, that's probably 2, maybe 3 wins as well. He missed some big kicks at the end of games last year. And they brought in a new long snapper. They got a competition there. So that might be a big thing. If that's fixed, if Joe Burrow starts the season hot, remember Jamar Chase was holding in last year. T. Higgins was missing time. He was practicing on Fridays, and there was 2 games where they had to pull him from the game plan on Friday or Saturday morning because he couldn't go due to soft tissue injuries, which, hey, they may continue. T doesn't play that often. But if the defense is still what they are and the other things go right for them that should and could go right just by flipping a coin and the randomness of the NFL, yeah, they can get to the playoffs. But I do believe they think they're a Super Bowl contending team. I saw the poll you guys put up on Twitter today. Who's the next AFC team? I think it's clearly the Bengals. I think nobody wants to really play Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase when they're firing like that. Even if the defense stinks, even if you're like, man, we're going to put 34 up on this team, you got to think there's a chance the Bengals may put up 37 on you just because of this offense. When it's humming, it is one of the best in the league. So I still think they're that next team. I still think in their mind they think they are, and they're going to spend all year trying to get this defense right because maybe it's not right away, but maybe it's right in late November, December, January, and that's when you make your run, and that's when you're ready to go.
Can it be right without Trey Hendrickson?
No, it cannot. He's a top five pass rusher, and without him, they really don't have that consistent impact player. They don't have that star on the defensive side. They don't have anybody you really have to game plan for. He crashes everything. And even last year, like, they didn't have anyone else to game plan for. And you could see offenses. There were times Trey's getting triple teamed. There was one play in particular where he got triple teamed and still ended up with a sack because the coverage did their job. But when you see that and you see him still end up with 17 and a half sacks, still end up being a disruptor late in games or in big plays, big third down leverage situations, and he's still winning and getting there. He is impressive. I love watching Trey Hendrickson. He needs to be there. I think they're still trying. Him showing up to camp, him flying out to Philadelphia yesterday and being on the sidelines for the game, I think he's trying to show in good faith, like, hey, I'm still here. I still want this contract. They still want to sign him. It sounds like they're at maybe the 20-yard line. They need to get in the red zone, put this thing in the end zone, and close it out.
I like the yard line use because we're over here waiting for James Cook, and we've had a couple of insiders say the sides are not as far apart as some may think. And Diana Rossini even reported that James Cook's sitting out to try and get it across the goal line.
Tom Pelissero said it was fourth and goal on the one.
Right.
Like, but that was a week ago, so fourth down means if you didn't convert, you turned it over.
They're in a replay review right now. They're having Steratore take a look at it. So there's a little delay here. So, Joe, thanks for the time. We'll talk again down the line. The Bills and Bengals play this year, and it's going to be a big one. We think like both teams are going to – if they're in the mix, it'll be a highly rated affair. And Bills fans, I mean, no matter how good the Bills are, until they beat Burrow, right? Until they show they can make the stops against him, I feel like he kind of lives over here a little bit as a boogeyman. Like we think about the Bengals, that Twitter poll you mentioned, they're winning it, and I think there's a lot of Burrow Chase fear phobia that's kind of there.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play them either, to be honest with you. And then for the reasons I mentioned, that offense, just, I mean, they can at any point score at any time and put up big numbers on you. Yeah, we'll see you guys in December. Probably talk to you around that time. And have a good morning, boys.
Very good. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Goodberry on the Bengals.
Yeah, I don't want to play them.
Well, you're going to. You have to.
Well, like in the playoffs. I want to play.
Is that not?
I want to play New England in round one. I want to play the Texans in round... Wait, no, I don't want to play anyone in round one. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
No one in round one. Texans in round two.
Who are the Texans?
Chiefs in round three.
Who are the Texans?
That's my perfect round.
Who are the Texans beating in this scenario in the wild card round?
Steelers.
Oh, wow.
Or the Chargers.
Just go ahead and... I'm going to write it in my calendar right now. Texans host Steelers Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Right? On that's the AFC Invitational?
Actually... I think I have said I think Denver's going to win that division. If that happens, maybe it's Bills hosting Chiefs in round two.
Yeah, right.
Because the Chiefs would be the 5 seed going to play the AFC South winner. Must be nice for them. They finally don't win the division. They get to play like the Jaguars.
Would it be wrong to say Bills-Bengals will end up being the most anticipated game of the year on the schedule? Like, we have the Ravens in the opener on Sunday night. The Chiefs are here again. The Eagles are late. The Bengals. And it's
here.
It's here. And it's at a time of year where... You know, provided everybody's just going ahead and having a year and there's not something stupid happening. Like
Sunday at 4:25.
Sunday, 4:25, okay. Big window.
I think the opener has got to be number
Opener's
one.
Opener's more anticipated? Okay.
I think the opener number one and the Bengals game. I could get behind the Bengals game being number two, though.
Let me make the case for you in 30 seconds, 10 seconds. If the Bills lose to the Ravens, what will people say? Happened last year. Lost in the regular season, beat him in the playoffs. They lose to the Bengals. What do people say? You can't beat them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the team.
Yeah.
If you beat the Chiefs, what do people say? You beat them in the regular season all the time.
Right.
You can't beat them. Until they beat the Bengals, people will say, you can't beat them.
Yeah.
And that's why that phobia exists. They might have beat him in the Hamlin game. We only saw, you know, about a quarter of that one. But it looked like it was about to be a shootout. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550-2550. Chris Brown, top of the hour. Voice of the Bills, play-by-play man of the Buffalo Bills, to preview tomorrow's Bills-Giants game and, of course, help us put a wrap on training camp, which they're back in Buffalo after wrapping things at St. John Fisher. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.